Alright, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. Now what you're looking at is one of the, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 are the practical part of Ephesians. It's absolutely amazing. Actually chapter 4 started it off so well, just practical discussion about our attitude. Chapter 5 really focuses on the spiritual element of our life that we should have. See, we all know how to have relationships with one another. God so wants to have this relationship with Him. And chapter 5 is all about, actually the whole book of Ephesians is about our relationship with God. Chapter 5 is about having the right kind of relationship. And really, if you're going to have a relationship with God, I'll just be quite frank with you. It's got to be holy. To have a relationship with God, it must be holy. And chapter 5 is about how to live holy. And if you'll look there in Ephesians chapter 5, we are just going through four verses here, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Look at the Bible. The Bible says here in chapter 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, that is a summary of walking in the Spirit. Verse 22 on goes on and deals with one of the greatest one of the greatest challenges for the Christian. That's learning how to submit. Learning how to find your place and stay in it, and honor God, and expect God to do work that your anger will never accomplish. Now, we looked at the prohibition of drink in the life of the Christian. When it says, "Be not drunk with wine," it does not say, "Don't get drunk." Do you see that? Your Bible does not say, "Don't get drunk." It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." When it uses the "wherein," we're not going to go through it. We've gone through it so many different times. It says, "Wherein is excess?" The excess is in the wine. The danger is in the wine, not in the drunkenness. God doesn't get upset when you get drunk. God gets upset when you start to play with sin, not when you get caught in it. Do you understand? God says, don't play, just like you, when your parents said to you, don't play with fire, because the problem's in the fire. When you start playing with it, I have horror stories of my friends and myself even when we were kids playing the fire. One time I thought, you know, there's nothing to it. These matches are fine. And you know, my dad cured me of playing with matches. He took me one time. This is really cute. Some people think it's cruel. I just thought matches were fun. I was probably about 6 years old. You know, when you first learn how to light that match. Well, my dad says, you like to light matches? Uh-huh. He says, okay. So we got that match, box of matches, probably had 200 in there. And we opened that match box, and he says, light the match. I lit it, and he put his finger around my finger, and he held it. And that fire came down, and I went, he says, you like to light matches? And he got down there, and he blew it out. He says, light another one. He sat there for 2 hours. We lit every single match in that box. I smelled of matches. I smelled of smoke. I hated, from that day on, I hated the smell of matches. It cured me for a while. Amen? Playing with drink, I wish somebody would take these kids and show them what it's like when you drink and what the real fruits of the thing. Over there in Hollywood, I was reading the news this afternoon, and some guy was at a shopping mall where they have the pubs just like they do down the Mahon Point, the Medigans. You can go and drink. And then he got on. He was up at the top of one of the escalators. And he decided he was so plastered. He decided, I'm going to ride down the escalator rail. And he fell. He fell two stories. Killed him. His friend said, well, he was just having a laugh. So there's no messing with drink. We are told not to mess with drink ever. Don't mess with wine. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. So, there's confusion about being filled with the Spirit. I've heard people stand up and say, we need to get drunk on the Holy Spirit. It's blasphemous. Did you know if you get filled with the Spirit, you'd never get drunk? Being filled with the Spirit is actually one of the most sane and most under control people on this planet. If you are filled with the Spirit, it is the exact opposite of what drink does to you. Amen? So there is such a false teaching about, and the confusion about, being filled with the Spirit. Now, we've already gone through this. I just want to go through and say every believer is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. His very presence moves into the life of the believer. But when does a Christian get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and when does he get filled? Let's say it this way. In very simple terms, you are baptized by the Spirit of God the moment you got saved. That is your spiritual baptism. Your physical baptism is you coming out of the closet, announcing to everybody, I'm with Jesus. I follow Him. Whatever happened to me internally, spiritually, I want to show just by a ceremony, by my physical baptism. You were spiritually baptized by the Holy Spirit of God the moment you believed, whether you were 8 years old or 80 years old. That was when you got baptized. Filling of the Holy Spirit is a moment-by-moment action. Did you know Bill could be, I've never seen him this way, but he could be, on a moment, he could be filled with anger. Amen? And then 10 minutes later, be calm and sweet as he usually is. Yes, sir? Well, that's not a biblical term. But yes, I think I understand what you mean by can you be energized by the Spirit, meaning that I am empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. My flesh can do nothing to please God. But when my flesh is yielded to the Spirit of God, as a tool, my flesh starts to please God. And I can do things beyond my flesh. When I am weak, then is He strong, and He goes further. So energize is an acceptable word, but I'll stick with Bible words all the time. Okay? Now, the command to be filled with God's Spirit is what we're focusing on here. It is an absolute necessity for the Christian. And there's no growing. There is no growing without being filled with the Spirit. It's just as valid as when it says be filled with the Spirit. It's just as valid and just as important as it says thou shalt not commit adultery. Basically, when you're filled with the Spirit, you are giving Him freedom for Him to occupy every part of your life so that He can guide and control you. let me give you some signs that you have the fullness of the Spirit. Somebody says, well, how do you know you're filled with the Spirit? Well, the first sign is you'll be like Christ. You'll be like Christ in the things that you do. Romans chapter 8, we'll quickly go there and read through this list again. This is still a review of what we learned a couple of weeks ago. Romans chapter 8. And you know, Brother Dennis, you still have that prayer letter. Okay, when we're finished, don't let me go. I don't want anybody, when I finish the message, I want to hear an update on Brother Evan Williams. He is our missionary to Honduras. His son was in that car accident. And this little update. So I know that I'll say amen, but everybody just, we'll sit down again so that Dennis can quickly, because I forgot to have you read that. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Just that verse ought to send shivers down your spine. Because if a Christian becomes carnal, what's going to happen to him according to that verse? You're going to die early. Because the carnal mind is enmity. Who knows what enmity means? John in the back. At odds. A very good meaning. At odds. A stronger word would be at war with God. The carnal mind is at odds, at war with against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh... Now, when it says in the flesh, you know what he's saying? They that are yielded to the flesh. They that have a mind after the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Tony, what do you think? What are the things of the flesh? Oh, yeah. Give me one. Huh? Adultery. Things of the flesh. Pleasure. Entertainment. Anything that I seek for myself. What else?
Self-gratification.
Self-gratification. These are our big trouble spots today in this world, because all we think of is what makes me happy. But what's another area of the flesh? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Desiring someone in the wrong way.
What's the first word?
Desiring,
lusting. Yeah, again, it's pleasure-based. Very good. Things of the flesh, we usually think of as sexual nature, their entertainment, possessions. Things of the flesh, things of this world. Now, so then they that are in the flesh, in the mindset of the flesh, cannot please God. But look at these words, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess what? He is none of His. You're not saved. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now brother Tony and I were talking on Friday. As far as you and I are concerned, are you dead?
No.
You're not dead. You're not dead, amen? I have not had your funeral yet. Look at what he says here. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. So somehow you can be still alive and yet be dead. But we're talking about a part of you that's supposed to be dead. What part of me is supposed to be dead, Tony? The old man, the flesh, that part of me. But how do I get him dead? Do I find, you know, some wires and lick the two ends of the wires and then hold on to them? How is this a? What I'm looking for is, yes, ma'am. Okay, even then, under the Old Testament, did they ever have freedom to be forever free from their flesh?
No, you have to
be saved. Right, well, saved, yes. I guess what I'm going to say is this. This is a constant reckoning you must go through every day, and sometimes many times a day, where you're going to have to decide you're dead. You are dead. Look yourself in the mirror and says, you're dead. You're going to have to decide that when God looks at you, you are dead. When other people look at you, they think you're still very much alive. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies in the future by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. I thought my flesh was dead. No, it's not. I need to reckon it dead. I need to, in my mind, decide that it's dead. And I need to decide that I owe my flesh what? Nothing. That we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, that's the filling of the Spirit. Do you see that? If ye through the Spirit, I lost my place. Yeah, verse 13. Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Every time your flesh, and this is a truism that happens, and again, I'm off the subject, I know, but this is so practical, I just hate to miss it. If we have to go over it 50 times, I don't care if we can get this, that if when my flesh, a deed of my flesh crops up, an act, an attitude, something that I love, lust, whatever, if it crops up, if I can mortify it. Now tell me what mortify means. Kill. Embarrassed. Well, I'm mortified, which means I feel like dying. I feel like crawling under a rock. So, kind of, something else. If I'm mortifying something, you know what? You ever heard of a morgue or a mortuary? Do you know what you put in a morgue?
Dead bodies.
You take that thought and you bury it. There's only one place to bury it. Under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to have to get a good understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you from all sin. And when a wicked imagination hits you, or a, a wrong attitude or some action you've done and you're too proud to deal with it, you should take the deed of your flesh and the thought of your mind and mortify it, which means put it under the blood until it dies. That's the proof that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, is because you want to do that. But Craig, I have so many problems, things that go through my head, things that I struggle with all week long. Do you want to be free from it? Do you try? Do you seek to put that under the blood constantly to go forward instead of looking back? Do you have a desire to be like Christ? That's a sign that you're Spirit-filled. At least you're becoming Spirit-filled. You are, one of the other proofs that you have the fullness of the Spirit is when you are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as we are starting to learn this year in our theme. And you're influenced only through the Holy Spirit's work in your heart. And you know what? You know, when the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, guess what He'll make out of you? A servant. That's all. So the proof that you're Spirit-filled is when you just want to be a blessing. You have a boldness to witness and to preach. Acts 8, 4, verse 8, and also verse 4 to 31. We won't go there. It says these words. When they prayed and when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says this. They preached the Word of God with boldness, not with tongues. Tongues were for specific times and for specific signs, and then they were put away. You know what God wants? A bold Christian. A courageous Christian. A Christian's not afraid. And that'll be proof that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll have a hatred of sin in your life. You know, we all hate sin in other people's lives, don't we? But you'll have a hatred of sin in your own life. There'll be an instant and automatic praise and thankfulness inside of you. You'll give thanks easily. We'll look at this verse in just a moment. And one other thing, you'll finally be easy to forgive. You'll go look back there in Ephesians chapter 4. Look back there to the right. You'll find it easy to forgive if you're filled with the Spirit. Who's the most bitter and angry person in all of history? The devil. You got it. Do you know if you're filled with the devil, guess what you're going to not do or not be able to do? What's the word? Forgive. Look at your Bible, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And look what does grieve Him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You think any of that came from the Spirit of God? No. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, all of that will grieve the Holy Spirit. Here's what is the Holy Spirit working through you. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's quite a few things to look for in your life to check if you're Spirit-filled. Now, the concept of being filled with something. The concept of being filled with something. Ephesians 5:18, we read that thing, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The word drunk does mean being filled with wine. You get filled with wine, how do you act? Stupid. Good word, amen. You act a fool, amen. So we understand, we can relate to somebody being consumed with or controlled by drink. Look at Luke chapter 4. Go back to the left. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, let's see. Bill, Brother Bill Daunt, would you read 4:28? Look at the words, filled with wrath. Look at verse 29. Read that one too.
And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong.
Now who is that? Who are they trying to throw off a cliff?
Jesus.
These guys weren't just upset. They were filled with wrath. Honesty. Here we go. You ready? Look at me. Everybody looking. How many of you have been consumed with wrath? Anger. Well, you wanted to kill. Go on. Yeah. You know what it means to be filled with a consuming feeling like wrath and anger. Look at Acts 13. Go to the right. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 45. Gina, would you read Acts 13 and verse 45? So as Jesus was speaking, and the crowds were going and listening to Jesus, and we're not listening to the Pharisees anymore, what were they filled with? All right, here's a question. Look at me, look at me. How many of you have ever been filled with jealousy and envy? How many of you? I go on, you've been jealous. The envy just ate you up. Every one of us know what it is to be filled with envy. We know what it means to be consumed and filled with anger. Ah, here's a good one. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. In verse 18. Now, this is spoken by a harlot, but she knows what everybody wants. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 18. Let's see, Brother Tony.
Come, let us spend our...
Take our fill.
Let us take our fill of wealth in the morning. Let us sell us as soon as we come.
Now I'm not going to ask you how many of you have ever been filled with love. A lot of you would cry. Think about it. You have known great love, especially when you got saved. And you've known the joy and you've sought to be filled with love and filled with somebody else's love, much less your own. These are natural and normal things that we know what it feels like to be consumed with and controlled by. Go to John chapter 12 and I'll show you. This even goes bigger. Not just consumed with, but I want to show you overwhelmed by something is what it means to be filled with. John chapter 12 in verse 3. Dina, would you mind reading that? Spikenard. All right, now this is a great, great illustration, almost like the Holy Spirit. Now there were people, this room was filled, this is the upper room and it's filled with the disciples, and believe me, the disciples in those days probably didn't take a bath more than once a week. They had body odor. They're all there chatting and talking. There's everything going on, food coming in and out, people are eating. And in comes this woman from the back and at the feet of Jesus again. His feet are back. He's leaning on his shoulder. He's eating food off of basically a small raised platform that's just maybe 6 inches high off the floor. They're eating. They're talking. And this woman comes and breaks open an alabaster box. And listen to these words. The room is filled with an aroma. And everybody stopped. And it took over. Nobody noticed anything except that aroma. And you know, when the Holy Spirit shows up in a meeting, nobody notices anything else except Him and His presence working in our life. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that in your home? Wouldn't you like it when you're just driving down the car and the road and your heart is grieved and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just steps in and just like that alabaster box, the perfume just fills and you go, oh, thanks for the reminder that you are there and that it's sweet. You see, that's the filling of the Holy Spirit does not take away the pain. Are you listening? It does not take away your problems. Guess what it does? It overpowers them. Amen? It just makes it so that you forget all about it. That's God's Spirit. (Clears throat) If you will go to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, our old life, our flesh is totally filled with evil. This is called the doctrine of depravity. Giving you a little bit of discussion, preliminary teaching before we get into the doctrine of man, the Bible Institute, but the doctrine of depravity, clear teaching that we are filled with all evil. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being now, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Oh, they are fakers and frauds. They'll put on a good show, but they are empty. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. What a slam. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Always arguing. Deceit. Malignity. Whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit some things, such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. That's us. Now, my point is this. We know how to be filled with all unrighteousness. The goal through the Word of God, and faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, the Word of God is to learn how to be filled with all righteousness. Again, the concept is holy living. Yes, sir? Yes?
When you do get saved, when a person gets saved, that's exactly their condition. At the moment of salvation, that's the kind of people that they are.
Yeah. I guess... In half. They now have a new creature inside them. But the old man is still there. And he's still just as wicked.
So a lot of that is still there.
Yeah. Where does Jesus say it resides? We want to blame our fingers. We want to blame our feet. But Jesus actually says it comes from the heart. And you'll always struggle with that thing. It's all connected. The heart and the flesh. The mind. You get yourself in bad habits, it takes a long time to come out, and you may be saved 30 years and still struggle with some things. You ought to be getting the victory. Okay? But yes. Just aren't you glad God saves you out of that and wants to save you from that? And He can save you. It's called sanctification. He saves me. Let me just deal with the three tenses or the you're saved in three time zones. All right, you ready? The moment you got saved, you were saved from God's punishment. Amen? His wrath against you was abated, was completely satisfied. You are, as you walk with God through sanctification, you are saved from the power of sin. So I'm saved from the penalty of sin the moment I get saved. On a day-by-day basis, I am saved from the power of sin. What does the devil want to do with each one of us? He wants to destroy us. And if he can't destroy us, I want to tell you this. He'll get you to do some sin so that God has to destroy you. That ought to scare you. But sanctification is where you walk with God and you yield to the Holy Spirit and He saves you from the power of sin. Alright, praise God. One of these days at the rapture, or if you die, you'll finally be saved from the very presence of sin. Amen? That will take place. But until that time takes place, you'll always have a bit of a fight. Amen? First and foremost with yourself. So, Hannah, does that answer? Alright, so, the goal of the Christian should be to become full of all the fullness of God. You wouldn't believe this, but this verse is absolutely mind-boggling. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see, Brother Kevin there. Ephesians chapter 3. Where am I? 19. Ephesians 3 and 19. I think that's one of the craziest prayer requests in all the Bible. How full is God? How full is God? Could I ever know that fullness? No. But you know what Paul says? I'm praying that you could. That's wild. That means I shouldn't seek to only be experiencing a little bit of this thing called Christianity. I should only have a casual relationship with the Lord. Paul says, I want and I pray that you would know just how full God is. And how far you go is how far you let Him go in you. That's it. Okay? You let Him, like I said this morning, have full control where you have absolute surrender. There is no stopping the blessings of God. And the blessings don't have to be physical. No, you need to be full of all the fullness of God. Full of spiritual fruits. Philippians chapter 1. Next, two books over real quick. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 11. Let's see. Mona, would you read? 1:11. All right. Being filled with fruits of righteousness. When it says fruits, Mona, what should we think?
Gifts.
But a little bit more. No, He's already been given to me.
Forgiveness.
Now you're using the you're actually labeling a fruit, but the fruit is the result of my life.
Love, joy, peace.
Those are fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things are how I treat others, and I need to be filled with those fruits. We shouldn't just I did my good deed today, and that's all I want to do. You know, your life, your day ought to be filled with bearing fruit. Yes, sir, Brother Dennis.
It's having the disposition of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. And it's a fruitful disposition. It's not a haughty, you know, look at me. It's, how can I minister to you? That's the fruit. Full of spiritual fruits, full of knowing God's will. Go back to the left one, you know, go to the right one, go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Brother Dennis. These are requests that Paul made for Christians. He wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, if I use the term of filled, I need a cup here. Should I use it? If I have a cup, and if I put a little bit of water in there, is it full? Yes or no? It's not full at all. Most Christians only know just so much of God's will. They only know so much of what God is like. Paul, even at towards the end of his life, in the book of Philippians, he says that I may know Him. I just want to know Him more. So Paul figured, and I would imagine if Paul's life was just a cup, he was pretty well near the top, but he says, I'm not full yet. Amen? And here's the truth. For every bit of you that is not full, there's going to be doubt. There's going to be debate. There is going to be defeat in your life, because that area that is not occupied by the Holy Spirit, I'll give you one guess who takes up residence in that area. The devil does. When he works in those areas that the Holy Spirit is not welcome. So in your life, your goal, and why Paul says this, he says that you be filled with the knowledge of God. There comes a time where you just say, I've got to know God's will for my life, and I've got to be so full of my understanding of it so there's no doubt. You just don't want to take a stab in the dark. I wonder if this is God's will. Be careful, because you'll regret it. You've got to know and be sure of God's will, and Paul prays for it, and you ought to be praying. You ought to be praying for, I'm going to embarrass her here, for Gina, that one day when she meets Mr. Wright, that he really is Mr. Wright.
Amen?
And that she's fully aware of God's will for her life.
And that's the point.
I lost it.
Right.
He'll answer to us. You better believe it. Amen. We're going to go get him. Don't worry. And then full of the Holy Spirit of God, which is our goal. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine. We know how to be filled. Be not drunk with anger. Be not drunk with... Hey, listen. Look at what he says. Be not drunk with wine is just saying anything of this world that will take over, intoxicate you. And anger will do that. Bitterness will do that. Every one of those things. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, how? I only want to talk about one of them. One key ingredient to being filled with the Spirit. And you wouldn't believe it. It is so simple, but it is the most important part. You got to want it. You've got to want it. Go to Acts chapter 13, and we'll look at a few scriptures, and then we'll be finished for tonight. But I've got 5 points. I'm only going to deal with one. Acts chapter 13. All right, Acts chapter 13. Brother Joseph, read 22. Speaking of King Saul being deposed and King David, young David, being made king. Listen to how Stephen... No, this is 13. This is Paul, reminds Israel of how God found David. Go ahead.
And when he had removed them, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
Isn't that amazing? So many people want things from God, and all David wanted was God's heart. That's all he wanted. And that's a true relationship with God, and that's the kind of relationship that any of us would die for. If somebody just came and just said, man, I just want your heart. I just want your heart for me. Basically, if you're going to seek to be filled, it's like seeking drink. And every drug addict, every drink addict knows what I'm about to say. There comes a day where they just, from the moment they wake up, or just something happens in their life, and their mind switches, and they look for that drink, and they seek it, and they can't get their mind off of it, and they begin to look for an opportunity, or a way to just fulfill that desire. Nita was reading on the internet about a little 2-year-old who had discovered chocolate chip cookies. Their mom had finally given the little, I guess it was a girl, the little girl, chocolate chip cookies, and that little girl just had never tasted anything so good in her life. You know, most kids probably get chocolate chips at by the time they're 3 months old, but this little girl had never tasted them. So they arrived, they went driving, they went to somebody's house, they were going to go there for just a few minutes or whatever, and the parents had had a box of chocolate chip cookies on the dash. And they were eating on that, and they had given her one. But anyway, she said, I'm tired. And then, you're tired. I'm sleepy. So they put it back into her car seat and said, we'll be right back. And they went inside to go talk to somebody. They were parked in the, you know, driveway of the house. It's not in the shopping center or anything. It was all safe and everything. Windows are down. Everything's fine. And when they come back, I'll give you one guess what had happened to that box of chocolate chip cookies.
Gone.
Well, not quite gone. We're not quite sure how many she ate. But she faked it. A little 2-year-old said, I'm sleepy. She had planned so that her parents would leave her in the car so she could get them chocolate chip cookies. You say, a two-year-old. That's how we are. She said, I gotta. You gotta understand, when we turn what we know how to do, we know how to yearn and hunger to have something of this world, if we could turn that hunger towards God. Seek to be filled. Seek God Himself. Go to Song of Solomon. Go back to the left. Song of Solomon is after Proverbs. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 4. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then a wonderful love song. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 4. Marcus, would you read that for me? Now this is Solomon and his bride, the Shunammite woman, talking. And they're talking back and forth. And she says this request. She says, just invite me. I want to be with you. You know what? This is wonderful. I've had several people in my time of winning to Christ who said, Lord, if you'll have me, I'd like to be saved. That's pretty amazing. Now, that's a good attitude about themselves. But it's just sweet to show them He does want you. And they go, wow. And here's the thing. When you want God to want to fill you, that's when God does. Draw me and I'll come after you. If you just give me the go-ahead. And believe me, the moment you begin to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit, the door's open. Let me show you another verse. Everybody knows it. But in Acts chapter 2, let's go there real quick. Acts chapter 2, in verse 13. Acts 2 and verse 13. Hunger for God Himself. Acts 2 and verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now you can't be drunk on new wine, by the way. But they're mocking them. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's just 9 a.m. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Watch this, verse 18. And on my what? And on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. What kind of people was God pouring out His Spirit on? On servants. People who wanted to serve Him. You know, God does respond to those who take a right attitude towards God. I want you and I serve you. And those are the kind of people that God fills with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 63. Psalm 63 in verse 1. Amanda, I'm going to ask you. Alright, what is that talking about? How is that describing? Go ahead, Amanda. Kind of tough. Like hunger and thirst. It's like now, they can say it is desire. They've said that a person can go 40 days without food. You can only go maximum of 4 days without water. And if you've got, you know, if you're normal like me, you can only go 4 minutes without air. It's amazing when David begins to talk, he says, God, I need you like somebody who's on a dry and thirsty land needs water. And when you have that kind of interest in God, that's when God answers. And most people aren't that desperate, especially in the Western world. Why, Kevin? Why in this day? Why in the 21st century? Why with all of the troubles that are here, why don't people thirst for God and hunger for God? Pleasure? Okay. I'm not probably being very good in my question. What were you going to think?
Someone like what we said in the
There are plenty of substitutes. That's the truth. There are so many substitutes out there. Most of them turn out to be a drug or a drink. Bottle of small or big size. So most people in the Western world don't need God because they're really not desperate. And you're exactly right. They think they can find their way out of it themselves without the need for God. Because it is very humiliating to have to admit, God, I need you. Yes, sir. In our world? Yeah. I'm kind of convinced that most of them know enough. And they, even if they had the best of preaching on television, most of them, Jesus even said it, wide is the way. So when you say they don't know, I think they need to know better. But they make choices. They don't need God. Go ahead.
You have that ungodly faith.
Oh, yes.
It's very difficult to get to this thing. But when you are people that are sinners, that happens as well.
Yes.
That can be born and can be changed.
Amen.
It's easier for them to get saved.
Ah, amen. Sinners, harlots, publicans, they get saved. Amen. Because they're thirsting for something. They've already tried everything else. And they're just tired of it. But it's just the concept that, you know, we live in a very well-off area of Europe. So just expect it's going to be slow going. That's all right. There are people out there who have hit rock bottom and they don't know where to look. And it's nice when somebody comes along and hands them a gospel tract and gives them the truth. Seeking. Still talking about seeking. Let me show you this thing in the Old Testament. Isaiah. Go to the right, go to Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Sir Paul. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2.
Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come. Come ye. Buy and eat. Yet come. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in happiness.
So there's our truth that people, they have substitutes. And God says, why are you spending money on things that won't satisfy? Come to the water that's free. Even ye that have no money, you can still buy. It's really a good verse. I'll show you, I'll wrap this up with a thought. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 in verse 13. Luke 11 and verse 13. And let's see, Marlene.
If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Isn't that an amazing verse? Now, he knows us for who we are. I think you're the sweetest, most wonderful woman, Marlene. But the Lord says this. He says, we're all evil. Alright? We got sin. Amen? And He says, and I think you're probably a pretty good mom. You know how to give good gifts to your son, even to your husband, and even to your preacher. You know how to do good things. How much more does God know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that just, what's the word? Ask. Now when he's asking, when he's saying, give them the Holy Spirit, it's a new concept to them. It's not salvation. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is this proving presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And what is the first thing that I need to do if I want the filling of the Holy Spirit? We're closing on this concept. But what's that last verse, huh? Just ask.
Amen.
When you're praying in the morning, you're praying for your pastor. You're praying for pastor's wife, and you're praying for your wife, you're praying for your future husband, you ought to go ahead and pray for him. Dear God, pray for your future husband. I know they are. When you're praying for your somebody that you're witnessing to, say, dear God, I'm asking, teach me how to live filled with the Holy Spirit. I know how to be filled with anger. I know how to be filled with depression. Don't we? I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, there's just something wonderful about the truth that you have not. Why? Because you ask not. Now there's some other conditions, there's some other things that are kind of important about being filled with the Spirit. You need a vessel that is clean. If we, you know, all the chairs in the other room, let's pretend that we bring all those chairs and all those tables in the other room, they stack them in here. And then let's go upstairs and bring all the chairs and all the computer consoles and everything that are in all these rooms. Let's just pack it all in here. And let's just stack it all around. Do you know, with all of the junk in here, can you fit many people in here?
No.
If you want to pack this room out with people, the best thing to do is to clear everything out so that only people could be in here. Do you understand? One of the important things, we'll talk about this next week, is my life is going to have some spring cleaning from time to time, where I move anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit, that would stop Him from being able to fill you up. Okay? So we're looking at these things, but the first thing is, you got to be praying about it. You got to say, Lord, today, fill me with the Holy Spirit and let it be evident. Don't just give me a feeling. Make it easily identifiable so that somebody says, like, this is not Craig, this is a Christian. Amen? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.